continuing on with our theme group of messages for this year on true identity, true community. Say it with me. True identity, true community. We have four markers in our church that we all think about and we all are on the process of working through. The first is identity. When God comes into our life, He changes us. He gives us a new identity. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we have a new identity. But there's a lot of us that have had that. And when we receive our new identity, we find that God brings us together in a family of people, all of which have been given a new identity. So our second marker is the family. And that's what we're focusing on this year. The family of God. The beautiful, diverse, distinct family of God. And you know that the family of God has been designed in a very, very specific way. So that the people of God act a certain way. They respond a certain way. They think a certain way. Their motives come from a certain design. The design that God put in us. Now, I remember when I was young, I had my first car. My father bought me a 1966 Buick Skylark for my first car. And it was great because I didn't have one before that. And it was a wonderful thing just to have freedom and to go where I wanted to. But on one particular day, I got a blowout. I'd never changed a flat tire before. And I kind of got the idea. It's not too hard to figure out. There's the lug wrench and the lug nuts and you jack the car up and so on. My problem is that I wasn't ever taught where to put the jack for the car. And I had the flat and I get the jack out. And it was kind of a different kind of jack designed especially for the 66 Buick Skylark. And so I didn't know where to put it. And so I'm kind of dumbfounded and I'm looking at this whole thing. And in my brain, I thought, well, it makes sense to put the jack where the tire is blown. So I took the jack and I put it underneath the fender you already know what's going to happen here. I put it underneath the fender thinking that's where it would lift. And I start cranking it up only to realize that it just bent the daylights out of the fender of the car. And I was so just like, oh, I can't believe I did this, but I didn't know. So I went and looked at the owner's manual and discovered you don't put the jack under the fender. There's a special place behind the car. It was actually, the bumper was attached to the frame, and there was a little slot. You could slide it in and then jack it up there. And then I got the tire changed. But every time I would walk by the car, I looked at that fender that had a bend in it, and I would remember, look at the owner's manual first. There's a design. And if you work and use the tools according to their design, things work out well. If you use the tools in a way that's not according to the design, it turns out bad. How many have learned that in your life? You don't pound nails with a cucumber. It's not designed for that. It doesn't work. God is the creator of people. All of mankind. Good or evil. Love Jesus, don't love Jesus. Doesn't matter the race, the nation, the language, whatever. God created all of us, and He created all of us with a specific design. As a group, a specific design. We're to function in a certain way. The designer made us to function. Now, it doesn't take a lot of thinking to see that when people reject the designer, they act in a certain way. They get ugly, they get violent, they get vicious, they get selfish, they steal, they lie, they murder, they cheat, they abuse themselves and they abuse others, they seek power, they seek selfish things, they're self-motivated. That's what happens when a person rejects the designer, rejects the owner's manual, and decides to go life on its own. That's what happens. The Bible says, John 10:10, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, destroy. That when you reject a designer, that's what you get. Stealing, killing, destruction. But the designer said, I came that you might have life and life what? Abundantly. That we're the lifers. That's who we are. That's the name of our church, Abundant Life. We want to do it according to the designer. And it doesn't take too much imagination to realize that when God has control of a group of people, they also behave in a certain way. They think in a certain way, according to the designer. They love each other. There's peace amongst each other. There's joy with each other. There's giving, there's sacrifice, there's generosity, there's just kindness. There's patience there. That's what happens when you live life according to the designer. When you read the owner's manual and you realize that that's the way to live. One is destruction, one is joy. One is self-motivation and ugliness and theft and killing. And the other is peace and love, generosity. And it doesn't take much to look out into our world today and to ask, I wonder where the majority of people are living. Are they living in the connection with their designer or in rejection of their designer? Seth read the passage. He read a portion of it. I want to read it again. But when we talk about the design and what happens, in the book of Acts, just after Jesus ascended, he raised up 12 disciples. That group of 12 grew to about 120 really, really faithful core people. And then Jesus ascended and said, wait, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came into those people, the Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. One God, three persons. When that Holy Spirit, God in the Spirit, came and filled them, those people began to act in a very specific way. They didn't go to a class. They didn't go to a seminar. They didn't have to read some kind of philosophy to find out how they were supposed to act. The fact that the Holy Spirit was in them, the designer replicated himself in the people. And here's how they started to behave. Acts chapter 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to tell you this morning, when you live your life according to the owner's manual, when you live your life according to the designer's wishes, it works. It works. What everybody desires, you get that when you live life according to the designer's word. Everybody wants peace, but they're looking in the wrong place to find it. Go to the designer, you'll find it. Everybody wants love. They abuse each other, trying to find love, and they twist and manipulate love so it's some kind of deviant thing. Go to the designer, you'll find true love. Everybody wants joy. They want to be happy. But no matter how hard they try, they're not happy. Because they're not living according to the designer. You go to him, you'll find that it works. And we've been studying already this year that this true community, this community designed by God that functions according to the designer's wishes and the designer's ownership manual, that it's an accepting place. It's a forgiving place. It's an accountable place. It's a distinct place from Genesis to Revelation. God has called us out and even calls us a peculiar people. Not a weird people, but a different people. To show this is the way it works. Last week we had such a vivid, beautiful example that this church, this family is a restoring, reconciling family. Everyone comes in, and we all come in with our scars and scrapes. We all come in with our burdens, and we're all messed up to a degree. And when we come in, it should be a safe place where people can heal. The scripture says that they had everything in common, more than just things. They had their time in common. They had their futures in common. They sold things that they had put away. They sold those to make sure everybody else had what they needed. They had shared their friends. They shared their families. They shared their emotions. They shared their trust. They studied God's word. They prayed together in the temple and in homes. What a beautiful picture of what it's like when people filled with the Holy Spirit live according to His purposes. Today we're going to talk about our living life in common. We call our small groups, groups in common. There's a reason for that. It's from this scripture. And not only do we want to have everything in common, but we realize that we really do have the things we like, the things we enjoy. We can find other people that enjoy that too. We want to share in common the things that God has placed in us and use those for ministry. So what's the purpose of our groups in common? What do they do? What's the reason for them? And most churches have these. We get it, because you can't really get to know everybody in this room once a week on a Sunday. So these other opportunities are available so we can get closer. There's two reasons for the purpose of groups in common. One is to offer a natural way for people to grow in their vital relationship with Jesus. Once a week on Sunday is good. Multiple times during the week is way better. Connecting with each other. We have our Jesus Jumpstart every morning that if you don't know about that, you can get the Zoom address online on our website. And every morning we just meet for 15 minutes and touch base. Talk about Jesus, pray together, and we get on with our day. There's other groups that meet throughout. But this provides us a way to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Sandra and my group meets on Tuesday night on Zoom. We have people from three other states that join us. We've got people from Michigan, people from Florida, and people from Virginia that meet with us. So Zoom works really well. And I'll never forget the night. It was at the end of COVID, and we were talking about salvation and sharing our salvation stories, and started using the Christian words like, you know, when did you pray the prayer to receive Jesus? Or when did you accept Jesus? And one person piped up and said, I don't know if I have a date. I don't know if I've ever really, like, prayed to accept Him. I just started believing. And so someone said, well, you know, would you like to pray that prayer? And they said, well, nobody's ever asked me that question. And the answer is, yes, I'd like to. So right on Zoom, we prayed. And that person accepted Jesus as their Savior on the computer screen. And when we got done praying, another part of the group said, would you ask me that question too? And we said, okay, have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior? And would you like to? And they said, no and yes. And so we prayed again, the second prayer. Two people in one Zoom group meeting gave their lives to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing when you meet together. You can grow in Jesus when you do that. The second one is that you grow in a vital relationship with each other. It's a natural way for people to enjoy each other. That's what we do. You greet and you gather and you meet. And I like our group on Zoom so we can have these other people from other states join us. But you know, I do miss the in-person. Because you know, I find that almost as important as getting into the Word and praying, you know, is the gathering before and the gathering after. When you just talk and you connect and you're just, it's the natural way of engaging with each other. And you just grow closer. And then you come to Sunday and you see each other and you've got now this repetitive relational contact, and people grow, and they get close, and it's beautiful. Well, our groups are based on what we call a free market philosophy. Say, what does that mean? Where can I find that in the Bible? Well, you can't find those words in the Bible, but you find the philosophy all over the Bible, and I'm going to talk about that a lot today. In our groups, we don't say, here's the format, here's the cookie cutter, and here's the time, here's the dates, here's all that. Now you come and you fit in. We find that creates a lot of rigidity and it just limits the groups to whoever thought of starting the groups that way. We're diverse and it's beautiful, amen? We think different. So why not let everybody think different underneath the umbrella of the scriptures? Why not let everybody just decide what God is doing in their own life and to share that in common? And that's the philosophy of the free market. This free market has five things that I can think of that are really important. Number one, it gives people a systematic way of bringing others into relationship with Jesus in their daily lives. So it's the basic small group thing. During the week, gives people an opportunity to connect with Jesus, connect with others. But it trusts people to choose what activities they will use for their ministry. I found this. If you want to grow people, you have to trust people in their growth process. If you hold their hand the whole way and always are telling them what to do, they just become robotic and they don't think for themselves. I think Jesus' intention was for us to think for ourselves. He gave us a mind, he gave us creativity, he gave us talent, and he wants us to use what we have for his glory. So it trusts people. We trust you. If you want to start a group in common, you can do that. Now we have an approval process so that if you like, you know, want to start a group in common that, you know, does something immoral, that we'll probably veto that one. But for the most part, if it's something that is good and godly and connects people, then the green light is on. Why not? It creates an environment where people can minister in the areas they're gifted in. You know what you're gifted in. You know what you're good at. You know what you like. I don't know. The other staff and leadership don't always know, but you do. You know what you like. You know what you're into. Why not start a group and use that for ministry? That's organic and it's beautiful. It creates an environment where people can minister in areas that they enjoy. We can start all kinds of groups and you can look at that roster and go, well, I don't like any of that stuff. I hope you don't say that about Bible study and prayer, but some of the other things that are there. Well, then it gives you opportunity to start a group in things you enjoy. Then the last bullet, it creates a natural ending time to avoid the difficulty of having to quit a ministry. Nobody ever likes saying, I started, now I'm kind of done, I want to shift. Because it feels like you're rejecting people. We have three trimesters, so at the end of every trimester, if you want to take a break or you want to change groups, you can do that. And nobody complains. Rather than me talk about it, I want to invite some people up to the platform. Don Zonick, Steve Cox, Esther Jude, and Melissa Bender. If you guys would come up, and there should be a microphone off to the side. As they're coming, Cassie Arnold has been the director of our Groups in Common until the middle of last fall. And I just want to say a special thank you to Cassie for her work, for her diligence, for her love for people in this church that she gave, I think, close to 2 years' time to serve in this area. And I'm just so grateful for her ministry and for her love for our people. Right now, we're looking for a new director, and we're kind of managing until we find that person. But I just wanted to say that about Cassie. Behind me now is Don. Sure, go ahead. Don Z's here. And Don has a special group, and his group is Joy the Lord Ministries. He's going to share about it. And it's close to his heart because almost 30 years ago, or 30 plus? 30 plus.
Short.
Okay, tell me the truth. How many years? Just give me the number.
29 days and 34 years.
34 years and 29 days, this brother's been sober. Awesome. Near and dear to his heart, because it's been his experience, and says he wants to share what's changed his life with others. So he leads our recovery ministry on Monday nights.
Well,
tell us about it.
Isn't it good that I am clean and sober because of the way we met?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not going to repeat that story.
You can ask him.
No.
You have to ask him sometime how we met.
Do not ask
me.
It's
a very special way. You can see him blush and all that. Ask me. I'll tell you about it.
Oh, man. Don't ask him.
All right. Hey, well, my name is Don. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I've never had it so good. It's not my fault. We have this group in common. We had a small group going for 27 years in Kirkish Hall before Groups in Common were even here. Do we have that little slide we can pop up about what we got going on here? I hope. I think we do. There you go. This is like a little thing that blasts around in the text world every Monday night or every Monday before we meet, and thousands of people have seen that. And then, believe it or not, you know it's a divine appointment when thousands of people over the 27 years have found their way to the little dark fellowship hall in the back of this sanctuary. Joy of the Lord's primary purpose is to complement each other's recovery in Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does recovery mean? So, you know, if you just like ask Siri, hey, what's recovery mean? I'm going to read a few things. There's 212-step programs out there, which is God's formula, that if you work and participate these 12 steps supernaturally, he will take the obsession away from you from whatever your prevailing symptom is. Bottom line is we have a living problem. So this is how we deal with our friends that come into the rooms. Okay, 12-step programs from alcoholism. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. adult children of alcoholics. That's also known as Al-Anon. That's for family members and friends of alcoholics. Al-Anon. Al-Ateen for friends and family members. For addiction, Narcotics Anonymous. All Addictions Anonymous. Cocaine Anonymous. Chemically Dependent Anonymous. Crystal Meth Anonymous. Marijuana Anonymous. Nicotine Anonymous. What about for gambling? You ever watch Sporting Goods now? They got the little warning down there. Call this number. Gamblers Anonymous. Gammanon, Gamma Team for friends and members of families of gamblers. Online Gamblers Anonymous. What about this one? Little old Mr. Porn Guy. Sex Addicts Anonymous. Codependence of Sex Addicts. Co-Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Spouses and family members of sexaholics. Sexaholics Anonymous. Sexual Compulsives Anonymous. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Sex Workers Anonymous. Sex Industry Survivors. These are things that God has set up a way for people to overcome unmanageable life, areas of their lives on a simple spiritual solution. How about this one? Depressed Anonymous, Dual Diagnosis Anonymous, Dual Recovery Anonymous, Neurotics Anonymous, Obsessive Compulsive Anonymous, Schizophrenics Anonymous, on and on and on Anonymous. I'm going to stop right there, but there's a long list there. So our primary purpose, meaning to complement each other's recovery in Christ, talks about the living problems that we have, and we meet in the back there. It's an unbelievable opportunity to be Jesus in skin to these people in the secular arena, because that's where Joy of the Lord started, and that's where we primarily populate, because there's not a whole lot of folks from the congregation that come and participate in the Abundant Life Recovery Department, which is what we are. And I just want to thank this whole family and all the leadership from all the years that you've had the doors open, always blessed us at first with coffee and cookie money, and now as a department we're blessed with the budget stuff that we can do things, and we can put on conferences and retreats and help other people to hopefully come to a place where they too can be called a joyologist. So thank you very much. Wow, now that really works.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Next.
Okay. Steve Cox. Thank you, Don. Steve Cox leads a men's group on Friday mornings. It meets on Zoom. And Steve, come up and tell us what you're doing and how God's changing lives on Friday mornings.
Great. Good morning. So I've led a small group for probably 20 years, even before the start of Groups in Common. We did a purpose-driven life series through the church, and I started a men's group then, and it's gone on since then. It's on Friday mornings. Right now it happens to be a hybrid group, meaning that it's a Zoom call and we meet face to face. It's actually in the conference room back here. There's a setup that allows us to do that. So I have a guy in Virginia Beach, a guy in Michigan. I suspect it's the same Michigan guy that you have. And then I have a couple guys that have to do it from work, and it's Friday morning, 7 o'clock. And it's pretty simple. We just pick a book and go through the book, and then it's very casual. We each read the chapter, we come in, and we talk about what God has told us about that. We ask questions and so forth. Last year in the summer, we read a book called Living Fearlessly by Jamie Winship. And that got us into discovering what our personal identities are. It got us into the discipline of listening prayer. And at the end of each book, before we concluded, I sit down with the guys and I say, what was the takeaway from this book? And they mentioned the things that I just did. And the one thing that they added to it was how much we got out of the aspect of community, and meaning what we got from one another. I mean, it's one thing to sit and read a book in a vacuum at home. It's another to read it with a group of people where you discuss it and get insight from others. And we understood that through the questions and answers provided within the group, we all grew. And it was this community aspect. So as we look for the next book to read, we just started it. We're in chapter one. And it's a book that was written by Henry Blackaby. And we've done three Blackaby books. The first one was Experiencing God. The second one was Hearing from God. And this one's called A God-Centered Church, Experiencing God Together. And so we're understanding the value of doing this together, church together, small group together. So it's a powerful group of men, and we're learning from one another as well as God's word and the word from authors. There's a scripture in Proverbs that's called, and it speaks to iron sharpening iron. And it's typically the tagline for many men's groups. Iron sharpens iron, and it turns out it works.
Thanks, Steve. Awesome. Well, if we have to give the men their opportunity, we've got to give the ladies their opportunity too. We do have groups that meet. If you're a couple and you want to attend as a couple, you can do that. But I'm going to switch to order quick. Melissa, why don't you come? And she leads our Wednesday night ladies group. Ladies are on fire on Wednesday nights. And tell us what's going on and what are you doing?
Hi. Everything Steve just said about the men's group on Friday morning could probably apply to our women's group on Wednesday nights. We originally started meeting a really long time ago, but we meet Wednesday nights with the idea that moms can come, bring their kids. The kids have kids' church in the back, youth group meets here, and then we can fellowship and we can learn together. And our group now is more than just moms. It's everyone. It's people who have never had kids. It's people who have grandkids. And it's people who have kids here at church of all ages. Some moms with little babies. It's all sorts of ladies. But we're doing just what Steve said. We're digging into different books. Sometimes it's a video series. Sometimes we go straight to the Bible. We do various things. I try to change it up every trimester. So we're doing something slightly different. But some things that God has done. This group, because we meet in person, there is no hybrid. I apologize. There is no Zoom. You have to come here on Wednesday nights to meet with us. However, it gives ladies an opportunity to share deep hurts and find others who are willing to pray with them and walk beside them. Some ladies who have gone through some hard things have found friends and fellowship in this place. There have been multiple aha moments when someone shares something about what we're doing and what it means to them, and someone else will go, "Oh, I never thought of it that way. That's great." And then they can hold on to that, and they grow because of what someone else says. We've had some ladies bring friends who didn't know Jesus at all, and they have stayed in our group, and now they're serving Jesus because of the fellowship and that we have. There have been plenty of nights where I have been tired and have been like, "Do I really have to go tonight?" But I do, because I need to. I know I need to be there. And God meets me every week. Every week I leave encouraged and so glad I was there. And if, honestly, I will tell you, if I wasn't leading this group, I would be so tempted to not go. But it makes me accountable that I need to be there. And that's because that's what I need in my life. I need that accountability for people to say, "You gonna be there, Melissa?" God has used our study to prepare us for what's ahead. I still remember going through the Experiencing God book, same book. We went through Experiencing God, and it was right when God was preparing us to do all of this identity work that we've been doing. And it was the most amazing timing that God brought these books to us and gave us that foundation for what was coming next. I've watched a woman come in who was hurting, and the ladies all gathered around her and spoke truth. One right after the other could say, "This is what God has done. This is what God has done. And this is what God has done. And he'll do that for you." And that's what's really neat, is we leave knowing that God is working in other people's lives, and he can work in our lives exactly the same way. And we have friends. Honestly, the friendship aspect is one of the biggest things for me. I love our group. So all of you ladies, any of you are invited to come Wednesday nights right back there in the preschool classrooms. And if our room's too small, we'll figure something out.
Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate that. And last, I wanted Esther Jude to come. And we recently had dinner with Esther and her husband and their beautiful kids. And we were just chatting about how God has changed her life and how she and her husband have been here for about 2 years and how they began to fit in. And how does a new person kind of fit in? And Esther found that avenue through this women's group. So Esther, share a little bit about your experience.
Yes, so I joined the women's group in August 2022. So we had been attending this church for about a year. And our two oldest children started to attend Quest, which is the midweek ministry for elementary-aged kids. And that just worked out perfectly for them to go to their group and me having my own, just like Melissa mentioned, so it was perfect. And I felt connected immediately with the women, and I had spoken to a few Sunday mornings already. When I started to attend the group, it and going through various Bible and book studies, that has helped me to make an effort to schedule regular time with God during the week. Some weeks I can keep up with the studies, some weeks are more challenging. However, it is always made clear that every woman is welcome in the group at all times, even when you're not able to prepare your homework, because the fellowship is the most important thing. Having these studies to prepare brought me also closer to God. I learned more about scripture. I learned more about God. I learned to not only pray to, but also listen to God and how to do that. Sharing my experiences with God I have during the week in our group, as well as hearing from other women sharing theirs, is a wonderful blessing. Another way of learning about God, what God is doing, and about myself in relation to God. And it's been really nice it's been 1.5 years now, which is, it's amazing how time flies, but 1.5 years. It's been wonderful walking alongside each other, sharing life, sharing prayer requests and praise reports. And you never know who could be blessed when you share your story. And as one of the women in our group recently said, our group is a no judgment zone. We can share everything and it stays within the group. And one thing I want to share that a few weeks ago, we were having a lively discussion. I forgot which study we were going through. But it felt like, just for a moment, I felt like suddenly a spectator of this group. I felt God's presence right there in the middle of the group of women, and many of the women coming from other places in the world. And I felt like God brought us together to learn about Him, to learn from each other, to support and love each other. We might have been born in different countries, but we are united in Christ. We are one family and sisters in Christ. And in that moment, I felt so honored that God put me right there, that I can be part of that. Thank you.
Thanks, Esther. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, you can take that. See, it doesn't matter where you are in your life, older, younger, there's things for kids, young people, young adult people, married couples. If you're struggling with addictions, if you like to read, if you like to hike, if you like to be with just ladies only, men only, there is something for you. This is what the family of God looks like. They met in homes. They met in the temple. Daily they broke bread. Daily they gave. They sacrificed. They connected with glad and sincere hearts. That's what the Acts chapter 2 church looked like. We want to look like that. It'll look different because we're in this metropolis and they lived in a small community. But God's Spirit breaks those boundaries. He knows. And He knows how to form us and put us together. Well, as I close up today, I want to just talk briefly about, well, what does the Bible say about all this? Is this biblical? Does it work in today's world? Well, I want to just talk about two things. Number one, your ministry or your involvement isn't confined to a single program. And that refers back to the free market philosophy. That we don't just, again, tell people, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, this is when we're going to do it, and then invite you to come and just kind of like put your round peg in a square hole. Because it may not fit you just right. But Jesus never did that, and God never does that. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working nor planting nor knowledge nor wisdom. So you've got options here. In the grave, you got nothing to do, but while you're alive, whatever you find, do it with all of your might. Now, what's the operative word there? First word of that verse. What is it? Whatever. Is that specific? Did God say, do this and do that with all of your might? No, he said, whatever your hand finds to do. In other words, whatever is going on in your life, whatever you enjoy, whatever you're gifted in doing, use that for the glory of God. That's our vision statement. Everything for the glory of God. Well, I like video games. You know what? We've got a video. At least we had a video game group. I think right now we have a Pokemon group. I wouldn't know a Pokemon from a Plymouth. But there's people that are into that. Whatever your hand finds, do it to the glory of God. Do it with all of your might. God can be glorified in pretty much anything that you enjoy. Whatever your hand finds to do. For some reason, we kind of prefer being told what to do. It kind of makes us more comfortable. Because then, if we don't get told what to do, then we can justify being inactive. I'm pulling the covers off of that one right now. We're not going to tell you what to do all the time. We're not going to tell you how to do it all the time. We're not going to tell you when to do it all the time. So that way you actually have to go to God, seek God, find his working and a calling in your life, and then function out of that. That causes us to grow, amen? It may not be the most comfortable. It's easier to be led along by the shepherd and just be the sheep and go, oh, well, whatever. He didn't tell us, so we don't have to go. Can anybody sense the, I'm not being mean here, can you sense the immaturity in that? Little ones, children need to be told what to do. It's time for bed. Go in the bathroom, brush your teeth. Oh, put toothpaste on the toothbrush when you brush your teeth. And then I want you to, you know, get yourself ready for bed and then go to bed. You got to guide them every step of the way because children are young and they don't know what to do. But if you have your teenager and you have to tell them that, we got issues. If you're an adult and you have to be told what to do like that, we've got issues. See, God wants us to grow in such a way that we don't have to be told what to do. We already know the Father's heart. We know what he's saying. And so many of us talk to God as if we're toddlers. What would you do, parents, if your teenager, 18-year-old, walks into the kitchen and there's spilled milk on the kitchen floor? And what would you do if that 18-year-old turns to you as the parent and says, Father, Mother, I beseech you by the mercies, for you are my accountability, you are my parent, you are my superior. What is your wishes about this spilled milk? What is your desire? I seek you, O parent. Please guide me and show me the way that I might do your will about this spill on the floor. Really? If you're the parent, you say, why don't you get a rag? You see the spill, clean it up. Are you following me this morning? And sometimes we go to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. Show me, oh Father, Master, Savior, Creator of the world. You know what you want me to do. And God says, have you even read my book? Have you read my book? There's enough to keep you busy from now until eternity just doing what I've already told you in my book. Now, we don't have time for the tangent of what calling means, specific calling. But let me tell you what. The greatest calling in the world, it comes from when you're close enough to Jesus that you sense Jesus' heart and he doesn't have to tell you. It's a great thing in my life to have three grown children, all of them married, and they function without asking us everything. Empty nest is awesome. Once you've done the work to train them in the way they should go, and then you don't have to tell them anymore. Isn't it great, parents of young children, when you finally lose the diaper bag? Isn't that awesome? Because you don't have to tell them anymore. You don't have to change their diaper anymore. They do it on their own. You're training people. And God wants us to be the same way in the Spirit. He doesn't need us to be asking Him all the time, God, what would you have me do? He says, I've already told you. And while you're going, if I want you to do something very specific, I'll tell you and I'll guide you. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17. What's the operative word? And what? Whatever. Specific or general? General, because the Bible's full of the whatever. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed. That's free market. Whatever you do, give Jesus glory. Your sports, your art, your dramas, your activities, your engineering, your puzzles, your leisure time, your home, your family, your work, your teaching, everything you do, give Him glory in what you do. Number two, your ministry isn't confined to a single location. It's not a program. It's not a location. Where do you do ministry? You answer what? Where? Everywhere or wherever. When do you do ministry? Whenever. Anytime. All the time. The most important one, though, is to whomever. To whomever. Whosoever, Jesus said. Whosoever. Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, and some cross references there for you. When Jesus sent out the 70 into ministry, He chose them. He said, okay, I'm sending you out. And here's what He tells them. Whatever town or village you enter. He didn't say, okay, Peter, John, you're going to this town. And James and Philip, you're going to this town. He didn't give them assignments. He said, okay, off you go. Where are we supposed to go? Wherever. Well, where's wherever, Jesus? Well, why don't you find where some people are? And if there's people there, go there. That'd be a good idea. Find some people and go where those people are. And when you find where those people are, you're going to find that they're hurting, they have needs, they're not functioning according to the owner's manual, they're all messed up and they're stuck in lies and killing and destruction like the devil always does. Find them, and then you'll find my ministry. Where's your wherever? Next door? At work? With your kids' activities? The parents you meet? At their schools? Wherever you go regularly? Wherever. Whatever town or village you find yourself in. See, we're more concerned about the where, the what, the when, the how, because we want to be led like little babies. Jesus will start us that way, but He wants us to grow into maturity. So He's, less concerned about the where, the what, the how, the when. He's more concerned about the who. That's who He's concerned about. Who is it? Who's right there? Who's right in your world? Who's right in front of you? Who's right there that you're connected with? That's the one I want right there, because that's who I put you, that's who you're with. Minister to them. Touch them. Rarely does Jesus tell anyone where exactly to go. Rarely. He did sometimes in the Scriptures, but not as often as, I've already given you the marching orders. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses all over the place. Just go do that. But we're so afraid of doing it wrong. Can we just dispel this mystery right now? Do you think God is really going to get upset if you said, God, I really wanted to go, you know, across town and, you know, do a ministry to, let's pick one. Go to St. James Park in downtown San Jose and minister to folks that are struggling in St. James Park. You think while you're doing that, Jesus is going to go, oh, I'm mad at you now. I wanted you to go to Memorial Park in Cupertino and you didn't do what I told you, so now I'm mad. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever town or village you find yourself in, do that. Now, if he's told you specifically, like Jonah, to go to Nineveh and you go to Joppa, then you might find yourself swallowed by a fish. So I'm not saying be disobedient, but I'm saying in the absence of some direct word that came from an angel with your message on the end of a flaming sword, in the absence of that, wherever. You follow me this morning? Because we're not babies anymore. The response was, it says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Where did they preach? Everywhere. Because that's where Jesus told them to go. Everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Jesus said, go everywhere, and they went everywhere. He said, speak to whoever, and they did, and God confirmed his pleasure upon them. So how do I find this fit? How do I figure it out? Well, it's really simple. What do you like to do? God gave you those desires. Use them for his glory. What am I gifted at? We are so gifted. The more I get to know you, the more amazed I am at just how gifted you are. Use that for his glory. What's God doing around me? That takes our eyesight. Open up your eyes. What's going on around? Are people asking questions? Are people hurting? Are people struggling? What's going on around my world? Notice that. What is God saying to me? Maybe he's being a bit specific. Maybe he's turning something over in your heart. Take notice of that. Now you got to be praying in order to know that, by the way. So be close enough to hear his voice. Does what I hear in my heart and the written word line up? That goes back to our accountability. I'm kind of feeling this urge. I'm feeling this thing inside. Well, does it line up with God's word? And 99% of the time it will, unless there's some kind of crazy thing. And then do that. Let's be adults. Let's be free. Now you might be saying, well, Pastor, you're talking about ministry. You talked about small groups. Where do I find your small groups? On our website, on the front page, this is what our front page looks like. When you look at that front page, see in the middle there, it says small groups. You just click on that. When you click on that, this next page shows up. And when the next page shows up, it looks like that. And you can read, there's something like 25, 26 different groups. Some are for service. Some are for connection, kind of like that Pokemon thing I talked about. Others are prayer groups, Bible study groups. And you just look down. You can find out when they meet, who leads them. Just click the little join button. And then the leader will get the message. They'll respond to you. And then there you go. And just like Esther did, you can start and you can get connected. It's that easy. Here's what the scripture says, John 9. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one will work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And then what did he say we were? You are salt and light. We can apply this to our lives. As long as it is day, we must work. This is the purpose of the family. God put us together to do. We do out of who we are because the people of God are designed by the designer. And when the people of God function in the way he designed us, it's beautiful. Here's the challenge for you, the beginning of this year. If we truly want to be people who function in our true identity and function as a true community, this is a first step. Get involved. Join a small group. Get connected. Learn about each other. Let iron sharpen iron. And it can be beautiful. There are ministries there on the website. And I want to say one more thing before I close. I had this happen to me the other day, and it both bothered me a bit, but it encouraged me at the same time. A person was talking to me, and they said, you know, I've been really not very engaged in ministry, but I have a small group I'm working with of people that don't come to Abundant Life, and I'm teaching them, and I'm helping them understand who Jesus is. I was both, the disappointment came from the person thought they were disconnected with what God was doing. I said, you're not disconnected. You're doing awesome. You're spending time every week with people who need to know Jesus and who need to grow in Jesus. Just because it's not one of Abundant Life's, you know, ministries that you can find on the website, that's okay. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So I encouraged him and I said, keep doing it. Keep doing it. So I don't want you to feel like, well, I am doing those things. It's just not, you know, Abundant Life's official ministry. It's okay. Abundant Life comes under the kingdom in the authority. We got that? Kingdom first, abundant life is down here somewhere. So if you're doing what kingdom is doing, do that. And keep doing that. Because God will just shine his light on you and it'll be great. Let's this week do whatever our hand finds to do. Let's this week go into every town and village. Let's this week connect with one another. That's how the true community really starts to look like Acts chapter 2. And that's the way the designer designed us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the powerful worship time. And right now, Lord, these are moments that challenge us. I know it. Moments that cause a disruption in us when we're kind of used to our routines. We're used to our schedules. We're used to the things we do. And then we hear a message like this and it disrupts it because it's a challenge to do something different or to do something more. God, help us to understand this is vital. Our connection with each other and how we serve out of that connection. God, this is your owner's manual. You've instructed us. And you gave us the example in Acts chapter 2. The people connected together, and then they served out of that connection. God, I pray that if there are those here this morning that are just kind of reluctant and holding back, that you would just speak to them in the gentle way you do, in the encouraging, comforting way you do, but in the convicting way that you do. Bring us to that point where this week we'll go and we'll click on one of those blue buttons and we'll connect with the body this week. We'll find either a ministry here, but even, I would say even better, whatever is out in their world. That's where the church functions best. Begin to minister to people, love people, be the light to people while it is still day. I thank you, Jesus, for working in us and through us this morning. This is nuts and bolts stuff. It's not something that we haven't heard before. But God, help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, so that we can be the true community. We love you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for all your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand together. Pastor Sean will lead us in a closing chorus. We have elders that will be stationed at the two sides of the sanctuary at the closing. If you'd like special prayer for anything, please come to one of them and they'll pray with you. Otherwise, if you'd like to linger a little bit longer and just kind of pray in what God is speaking to you, do that here in the sanctuary. If you want to visit, maybe find yourself out on the patio, grab yourself another coffee and visit outside while those are just kind of praying and seeking God inside. But let's be everywhere lifers this week. Let's be anywhere lifers this week. And wherever we go, let's do it with all of our might and give God glory. Amen? Amen. Pastor Sean?
And if you could put up the chorus of the new song, I Witnessed It.
I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. I witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen life within, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it.
Hallelujah, Lord, you are worthy of all of it. I pray, Father, that we would remind ourselves of your faithfulness. God, that we would go from this place knowing, Lord, that you are faithful, you are true. We don't have to worry about our past. God, we can be set free to go now and move, to do whatever it is you put in our hearts, to do it to your glory, and to bring the community of God along. God, that we would be able to encourage each other, love each other, Lord, today. God, that we would have an opportunity just to connect and love and encourage those around us. May you be glorified, Father, as we go today. It's in Jesus' matchless name, everyone say, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Lord be with you. We have the elders left and right, just for those who would like something to pray through, for the rest of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.